I don't know about you, but 2026 isn't a surprise to me. How many knew it was coming? Amen. We knew it was coming. What this year holds in store, we do not know. But how many know we can determine some things that can happen this coming year? And so as we're going through the vine and the branches here, we're talking about one more year. How many know we're not guaranteed a second year? We're not guaranteed 2027. So I say let's make the most of 2026. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. Okay. John 15, we read this last week. I am the true vine, which is Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch, that's his disciples, in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So in John 15, we talked about four categories of fruit bearing. There was those who bore no fruit. There was those branches that bore some fruit. There was those who bore more fruit. And then there was those who bore much fruit. And depending on the context, fruit can symbolize multiple things here today. Converts. How many know we want converts? How many know? How many know that we are called to go into all the world and make disciples of all people? And so we believe in church growth. We believe this is legitimate. How many know God is in the numbers? Amen. God counts noses. Amen. Heaven's going to be full of noses. Hallelujah. With people behind them. Amen. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of Christian character, the fruit in our life this coming year, we want to see the multiplication of that, and we want to be. Talking to his disciples. This is on the night he was betrayed. He is preparing his disciples that they need to be connected to the vine. There were some big days coming and some horrible days coming, and they needed to be ready. In verse 3, it says, you are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me and you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Father, I just ask that you would just bless your word here this morning as we just take a few minutes to dig into this scripture here today. Again, we're entering into a new year. It's a time of sometimes making resolutions, sometimes kind of planning for the future, looking at what this year is going to mean to us personally and even as a church. And so, Father, we're just asking in your holy name, Father, for us to go forward today with a heart of expectation, a heart, Lord, of faith, a heart, Lord, looking towards an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon your church. So, Father, we just ask in your name just to bless both the word today and your people, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So one more year is upon us, and Jesus laid out in this scripture three outcomes from abiding in the vine. And abiding in the vine is our responsibility. How many know that we are the one who has to get it done? How many know that God has not moved, God has not changed, God has finished the work through Jesus Christ? It was Jesus who said, it is finished. So we need to tap into that finished work of Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you today to step up in faith and take some steps of faith. We're going to challenge you at the end of the service. What am I going to do this year that I didn't do last year? How am I, if I'm not bearing any fruit, how can I bear some fruit? Or how can I bear more fruit? Or how can I, by the end of this year, look back and say, much fruit? And that is the desire that Jesus has for us here today. So there are three outcomes that we're going to look in this scripture here today. Three outcomes of abiding in Jesus Christ, in the vine, the true vine. Number one, much fruit. Secondly, answered prayer. And thirdly, glory to the Father. And so we're going to just go right. We're going to pull it right from the scripture here today. You know my 3 points. And so I'm just going to encourage you today to open up your minds, open up your hearts, and see what the Holy Spirit would say to you. So I will confess ahead of time that I will be mispronouncing some words. And forgive me ahead of times. We're going to go forward. Amen? I do that so that you feel good about yourselves. Okay? All right. So what we discover from John 15 is that we are in a symbiotic relationship with Jesus. Symbiosis. I even put down the pronunciation here so I'd say it right, and I still said it wrong. So symbiosis. All right. Okay. How do we define that here this morning? It is any close and long-term biological interaction between two organisms of different species. A second definition says it is a term is sometimes more exclusively used in a restricted, mutualistic sense where both you know that word, it's up there on the screen for you to read, contribute to each other's, yes, say that 3 times. Amen. This means they benefit each other in some way. And so as we look at this today, I want you to understand that we are in this kind of relationship with God. And it was not because we chose it that way. It's because he chose it from the very beginning. That, yes, he provided salvation. But how many know that he incorporates us in the work of the gospel? And so it's exciting to know that we have this relationship with him. It's a give and take relationship. We're partners with him. We're co-laborers with him. And he's called us to what? Work with him. So as we talked about, the gardener, Jesus' father, planned this from the very beginning of creation. That he wanted us to be interdependent. He wanted us to be in partner. He wanted us to be co-laborers. And even at the end, he told his disciples, I know, incorporated into the family of God and into a relationship with him that he wants to see fruitful. He wants us to accomplish some things. He wants us to be productive. He wants us to bear fruit. Outcomes. Or abide as some of your mind. So as we read verse 3, it says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I don't know about you, but sometimes things happen in our life and we don't even know they're happening. When you got married, how many know you changed? When you moved in with that other person, that other personality, how many know that that personality rubbed off on you? There's things you did, things you said, that kind of changed. And so as we look at this here today, there was something going on in the disciples' relationship with Jesus. They didn't even know what was happening in their life that God, Jesus was transforming their lives little by little. It says in this scripture that they were clean because of his word. They were being transformed by the renewing of their mind, by the washing of the word. Even though they didn't know it was happening, Jesus was giving them a new covenant. Jesus was making the scripture come alive in their lives, and they weren't even aware of it. And so this transformation was taking place in their life. Jesus was preparing his disciples to bear much fruit. And aren't you glad today that they bore much fruit? We would not be sitting here today if it wasn't for the cleansing that Jesus did in their life in preparation for the day of Pentecost when the church of Jesus Christ would be born. As we look at the scripture, we read in verse 2 earlier, he said there in that scripture that he prunes so that we would even bear more fruit. And the word clean in verse 3 are the same word. It means cleansing. So pruning means cleansing. And so if you were a Jew in their day, they wouldn't understand the word prune, but they would understand the word cleansing because that was the word they used when they went out into the grape harbor and began to prune as we would know it. They called it a cleansing. And so that's what's happening in the life of believers as we're walking with Jesus. There is a cleansing process taking place. Whether we know it or not, Jesus is washing us with his word. And pruning is God's way of preparing his church to be without spot or wrinkle. How many know that? Because he's coming back for that church. without spot or wrinkle. He is making us holy. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says this, because we recognize that Jesus was influencing his disciples, even though they didn't know they were being influenced. We read, Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15, do not be misled, bad company corrupts good morals. So we know that there are influences in our world today that are negative, that will influence us for bad. But Paul also wrote to the Thessalonians, I'm excited. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. So he's writing to the Thessalonian church, and they don't even realize that what they're doing is they're encouraging and building one another up. And he said, you're already doing it. Continue on with that. So we see that influence is going on in our lives. We're either going to be influenced for good or we're going to be influenced for bad. And the Bible uses the word yeast or leaven, right? A little leaven does what? Leaven's the whole lot, right? I don't know. Ladies, you know that. You put a little yeast in, you make dough, you put it in a bowl, you put it in a nice warm spot. What happens? It begins to expand. It begins to expand out of the bowl, right? And so this is what's happening in the life of the believer. As we are in relationship with the vine, there is this transformation taking place in our life. That's why the Word of God is so important. That's why the Word of God is something you need to be reading. Not just listening to on Sunday morning or listening to on the radio, but it's something that you need to be in on a daily basis because it's a powerful influence in your life. So the gardener was already doing the pruning in Jesus' disciples' lives. And Jesus' influence was preparing them for the day of Pentecost when they would rise up and be the church. And so I encourage you as you're sharing your faith or living your faith out that you are doing this very thing. You are already influencing people. Before you even give them the gospel, they should already be seeing the fruit of your life. They should be hearing the fruit of your lips. They should be looking at the evidence of Christ in your life. Folks, we need to be ready in season and out of season to bear fruit. Amen? And so just think of it today. Your strategy of reaching those that you're closest to, those that you desire to be saved, live the life. Don't just walk the talk. Don't walk the walk, but talk. Don't talk the walk, but walk the walk. Something like that. Man, this is a good day, isn't it? Amen. I told you, I warned you ahead of time. Amen. Hallelujah. Too much holiday. Amen. Hope you all had a good one too. All right. So the gardener was already pruning Jesus' disciples and preparing them for the mission that was set before them. So we read that scripture there in verse 3, right? You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to him. Because he was already preparing them. And so, church, he's already prepared us. And so we're already in that cleansing process that God is doing. He's already pruning us and preparing us for 2026. So verse 4, he goes on and says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Doesn't this seem very repetitious? It's for a purpose. How many know that sometimes we need to hear something more than once? Twice? Three times? Four times? How many know that they say you have to make an announcement seven times before people even begin to hear it? So Jesus is affirming, confirming, and repeating so that they understand. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So we see in this scripture six times in three verses, Six times Jesus says, remain in me, abide in me. So do you get the message that he wants them to remain in him and abide in him? All right? And so that's not just a message that was for them, but it's for a message for us here today. So I want to look at the first of the three outcomes of abiding in Christ, and that is that we are to bear much fruit. Much fruit. What are we talking about? We are talking about being productive. As people of God, we are to be reproductive. How many know we are to be out there creating little me's? I'm not talking biological little me's, but I'm talking about spiritual little me's. You are to be reproducing yourself. And that might sound a little scary, right? Could you imagine a lot of you, little you's running around? You can imagine, but that's a nightmare for us. Amen. Hallelujah. We are glad that God broke the mold when he made you. Amen. Abundance. We like that word, right? And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about abundant fruit. We like to quote the scripture that he has come to give us life and... Yes, we like that. We like that. But how many know that's the same principle here, that we are to what? Have abundance in the fruit that we are called to bear. So this is not self-producing fruit that we see here in this scripture. He says, when you remain in me, 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 when you... Six times he says, remain in me. And when you remain in me, you're going to start bearing some fruit. You're going to be bearing more fruit. You're going to be bearing more, much fruit. Yes. Woo. Hallelujah. I shouldn't have drank that last night. Oh, no, anyway. That NyQuil is tough stuff. So, all right. Much fruit, productive, reproduction. All right. No fruit can bear fruit by itself. It needs to be attached to the vine. Jesus is the true vine. He is the source. He repeated, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. You know what the word nothing means? No thing. You can do no thing outside of Jesus Christ. That's very straightforward. It's a symbiotic relationship. We remain in him. We abide in him. We stay connected to him. And there are a lot of different symbiotic relationships. And so I'm not giving you the technical names because I can't even pronounce what I'm about to give you. So I wasn't going to go there because I didn't want you to feel too good when you walked out of here today. All right. So there are a lot of different symbiotic relationships. There is the competition, okay? And there are some technical words that these go by, all right? But these are words that I understand. So if I understand it, maybe I can communicate it to you. So the first one is competition. Competition reduces both parties' fitness. How many know that sometimes we just don't get along with some people? It's kind of like oil and water. How many know that? There are marriages like that, right? That they just don't mix. There are people that we've encountered through life. They're friends of ours. And I would go home after spending some time with them, and I would tell my wife, if I was married to that woman, I'd be divorced today. Because I don't see that there would be any connection that I would have with that individual. I am grateful for my wife. She is a gift to me, and I'm glad she puts up with me. Amen. And so, competition, sometimes in this symbiotic relationships, there is competition, and it reduces both parties' fitness, okay? They're unproductive. Nothing happens, okay? In fact, it's destructive. And so the best thing to do is, even in the scripture we read, what's God do with that relationship? If we're not connecting with him, he's going to sever it. He's going to cut it off. He's going to cast it away, throw it in the fire. So remember, when we're talking about this, we're talking about people that claim to be in Jesus Christ. He said, these are in me. All right? So realize he's talking about the church. He's talking about believers here today, that we are called to be in a symbiotic relationship with him. So the second word is amen. Yeah, mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. This means one party's fitness is reduced, meaning basically one person is in a dominant role. If you're going into business and you have a partner, it's very hard to be co-partners, to be honest. One person is pretty much going to take the lead role. I mean, it can happen, but the truth is, one will probably be a little bit more predominant than the other one. One party's responsibility will be enlarged, while another one's may be reduced. There may be one who is the PR person out front that everybody recognizes that business is their business, but a lot of times there's a silent partner, someone who's kind of in the shadows. And so that's what we're kind of talking about in this relationship here. Realize that these are not relationships that God wants to have with us, okay? Thirdly, the third one. All right? One benefits, but the other is largely unaffected. Amen. So this is in a relationship where you both give, but one's benefiting and the other, it's not really reducing their effectiveness. It's not really enlarging that individual, right? How many know about a thing called lice? All right. I won't ask if you have it, but that's kind of one of those things that one benefits and the other is largely unaffected, right? They just enjoy feeding off of you. We'll move on from that one. All right. And the other one is a parasite. One benefits at the other's expense. We've all been in a place where we have been used by people, right? It hurts, right? It's not good. They get what they want out of us, and they move on. We're used. But out of all these symbiotic relationships, this last one is the one that Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit prefer, and that's mutualistic, where both parties benefit. How many know in a relationship with God, both parties benefit? We need him. We need him. Without him, there is no salvation. But also, he needs us. Why? It's because he designed it that way. Because he has chosen to use us. He has incorporated us into his plan. He said, go into all the world, what? Preach the gospel, right? He's the gospel. He provided the message. He provided the answer. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and proclaim. So there is a partnership there. We need him for salvation, but he needs us, what? To share the message. It's his design. This is what he wants. A mutualistic relationship with one another. The truth is, who doesn't want to see much fruit happening? If you're sitting here today and you don't want to see or produce much fruit, more fruit, or even some fruit, it's basically called discipleship, right? Discipleship is what? Bearing fruit. Who doesn't want to see converts? Who doesn't want to grow into relationship with God in righteousness and Christian character? Who doesn't want, in the midst of our situations and problems, to bear the fruit of the Spirit? How many of us want to be used by what? The Holy Spirit in the gifts, right? These are just fruits of this relationship that we have with him. And if we don't prefer this, if we don't desire these things, I think, we have one destiny, and that's we're going to be cut off. Every one of us in this house today should want to bear fruit in these areas that we've already mentioned here today. So we're talking about, first off here, much fruit. God desires for each one of us to be bearing much fruit. Not some, not more, but according to this, much. The second outcome, as we read this about abiding in Christ and vine is answered prayer. He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We need to have two relationships here today. One, we need to have a relationship with Jesus. How do we do that? It's called our prayer life. How many know it's not just getting down on our knees, coming in on a Sunday and praying together, but our prayer life is walking through our day with Jesus. Our life should be a prayer all day long. Paul said, I pray without what? Ceasing. How do we do it? Because he was what? His life was a prayer. How many know that when you're obeying Christ, that's a prayer to God? How many know when you're sharing your faith, that's a prayer to God? How many know when you make the right decision when you're being tempted, that's a prayer to God? We live that life. The second one is we need to have a relationship with the Word of God. The disciples experienced both of these things. They walked with Jesus, literally. Right? And he was giving them the word in their relationship. And today, I would just want to explain to you or say this. One cannot be exclusive from the other. To walk with Jesus, we need to have that conversation going on in our life. Our life is a conversation. And we need to be in the Word of God. They're important to the sustenance that we have in this life. He said in verse 7, ask whatever you wish. What's your wish look like? Wish list look like? Our kids had one, didn't they? Going into Christmas. They probably even wrote it out for you. Ask whatever you wish is dependent upon remaining in Jesus and his word. That's what Jesus is explaining here in this thing. If you want answered prayer, he said you need to be abiding in me. You need to be abiding in my word. So we can go back to the reference of that pruning and that cleaning, right? Right? How many know that as we're walking with him, he's cleaning us and we're abiding in him, prayer begins to be answered in our life. This is in preparation for much fruit. Abiding sanctifies the asking. How many foolish things have we asked for? There are a lot of things I look back and I say, thank God he didn't answer that one. Amen? Because it wasn't a very sanctified prayer. But abiding sanctifies the asking because it takes us to 1 John chapter 5. And you know this? This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask what? Anything or whatever you wish, there's a condition, according to his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So this is called sanctified asking. Because as we're walking with him, he gives us the right desires. As we're reading the word, the Bible tells us the things we're to ask for. And so our life is what? Being sanctified. It's being cleaned up. Where we're not asking for things that are going to be destructive, things that will take us off course, but will what? Strengthen us and help us and build us up and encourage us. Answered prayer is based on our relationship with Jesus in accordance with his word. The symbiotic relationship of the vine and the branches reveals itself when it comes to our prayer life. And the question we need to ask ourselves, many of us are praying, but how much of us are seeing results to our prayers? So how fruitful are our prayer lives? It's a good question to ask because we come in here week after week, even having prayer requests, we're praying for some of these big needs, and yet we're not seeing it. You can blame the pastor, you can blame the staff, you can blame the deacon board. I don't care who you blame. But it comes down to us as individuals, where are you walking today? Are you abiding? Because if he's not using us, how about he use you? So don't point and say, well, we're not seeing this because of this person, this person, this person. How fruitful are our prayer lives? I got to thinking about this, and we're all familiar with the story of David and Goliath, and it may seem like an insignificant point, but we know that David picked up how many stones? 5. We don't know where he got them from, if it was a riverbed or if it was in the field, whatever. But in my mind, as I was looking at this, I began to think, I wonder how long it took him to pick up those 5 stones. Because he was used to using a sling. It was a weapon he was familiar with. And how many know when you are hunting or you have a weapon, how many know you have to have the right ammunition? And so I was just thinking that he probably took some time, all right, to pick out those 5 stones because he's used to using that sling and he knows what rocks are the best rocks to use. And so I think he took some time to actually examine them, looking for the perfect stones. Because he was familiar with the sling. He knew how to use it. And so he needed the right ammunition. And today, we have the right ammunition. If we're abiding in the vine, we're abiding in Jesus Christ, and we have the Word of God, how many know we got the right stones to bring down the Goliaths in our life? The third outcome of abiding is to give glory to the Father. Verse 8. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So in the context of John 15, the Father's glory is based on the level of our fruit bearing. So on a scale here, as we were closing out this message here today, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put your level of fruit bearing? It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? I believe the more fruit, the more glory. Much fruit is proof, it says right here, that we are his what? Disciples. He says that you bear much fruit. That's what it says. Showing or proving yourselves to be my disciples. So that scale of 1 to 10 is important. And I think we need to examine our lives to see, am I giving glory to God? Is God getting glory out of my life? That's important. Much fruit is proof that we are his disciples. The disciples are measured by the amount of the fruit that they produce. How many know there's a reward system? How many know there's a reward system on earth? And how many know there's a reward system in heaven? We read it with the story of the talents, right? The ones who used it, what? God multiplied it. And the one who didn't, his money went to the guy who produced more. There is a reward system. And how many know in heaven, we may be just glad to get there, but I believe there's going to be a reward system in heaven. I believe we're going to be honored for our faithfulness in whatever God has called us to do. How many know there are positions in heaven? How many know the Bible says you're going to reign with Christ? I don't know what the future holds. I think there's more than just us standing around the throne singing and playing harps. I think God has a great plan. Don't know what it is, but he's got a great plan. And I believe there's a reward system. The disciples are measured by the amount of fruit they produce. No fruit, some fruit, more fruit, much fruit. In Matthew 5:16, if you get ready. He said, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may what? See your good works? Can we say fruit? That we may see your fruit and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Our life is to glorify God. You know, we get food from a lot of different plants. Remember, we're talking about grapevines here, being connected to the vine. But how many know there are vegetables and plants that we get from underground where you can't see the fruit? We have our potatoes, we have our beets, we have our carrots, we have those. All we see is the green, but we don't see the fruit of it. There are those that produce their fruit on the ground, like the vine plants, cucumbers, such. How many, sometimes you can't see the fruit, you have to move the leaves to see the fruit. But God didn't tell us to bear our fruit underground or on the ground. But we are to bear fruit that others can see on the branches. That's where the fruit comes from. Remember, we're talking about vineyards, we're talking about fruit trees. And how many know that if something's growing on them, you can see them? Right? They're not growing in near the trunk, covered up with leaves. No, they're out on the end where you can see them. Let your light shine. Let your fruit be out there where people can see it and glorify the Father which is in heaven. The gardener, who is the Father in this story, cares about his vineyard. He cares about you. He cares about the world that we live in. And he is judicial, as we said last week. He plans it. He has expectations. He has a standard. And he wants us to live up to these things. We read in John 15:2, he cuts off every branch in Jesus that does not bear fruit, so that they do not rob the rest of the branches of the necessary nutrients to produce fruit. We're in this together. And he prunes or cleans the branches so that they produce more fruit, leading to much fruit. We're in 2026. We're facing one more year. As I said in the beginning, there's no guarantee that there will be a 2027. But we have been called into a symbiotic relationship, a mutualistic relationship with God, where he does his part and we're called to do our part. That's what makes this thing work. That's what makes the church work. So what's your agenda for this year? I'm not asking you to make New Year's resolutions, because that'll last about a week or two. But will you purpose in your heart to be an individual who says, you know, I might be bearing some fruit, but I need to be bearing more fruit? Or maybe you're doing pretty good, but how many know we can step it up a little bit and produce much fruit? Meaning, we're connected to the vine, we're in the Word, and God is doing some incredible things in and through our lives. So will you be a person today who spends time with Jesus, who loves on Jesus this coming year? I think most of us would, it'd be fair to say most of us could spend a little bit more time with Jesus, or at least incorporate him in our day. Incorporate him in our work and in our play, in the things that we do. He didn't say don't do those things. He said, I just want to be Lord of those things. I want to be Lord in those things. Will we be people of the Word? We can't read the Word for you. I don't know if it's a mistake putting the Word on the screen for you so you don't have to open up your Bible or your phone. But you need to be in the Word for yourself. Many of you haven't even read through the Bible. Many of you, there's probably books that you haven't even opened. You have no idea what they're even about. read through the Bible once a year. Sometimes it's a little difficult. Sometimes you get bogged down, but it's a goal that I've set, and I've been doing it for years. Because it's the whole counsel of God. It's not just reading my preferred readings, but it's reading what God says, the encompass of all that he said and did. Will we be people of not just prayer, but answered prayer? I want to see more answers to my prayer this year than I ever did before. I want people coming to our altars and we see evidence right there and then when we pray. I want to see people healed. I want to see people delivered. I want to see people saved. Will we be people of answered prayer? Not just prayer. Because we can pray without abiding. We can pray without being in the Word. We need a cleansing, folks. And that's what he gave us, his Word. The renewing of our mind. It's like washing our bodies with soap and water. We wash our souls, our spirits, what? With the Word of God. It cleanses us, makes us whole. Will we be people bearing much fruit? Maybe some of us should just start where more fruit. It's a good starting place. Baby steps, that's okay. But his desire is for us to bear much fruit. Will we be people who bring glory to our Father? Wow. Will we be people bold enough to be identified as disciples of Jesus? Some of us are hiding in plain sight. It's time to say the right things and do the right things. Stand for the right things. Folks, I believe we need to have some low-hanging fruit so people can grab hold of it and partake. We're living in a hurting world, a world where fear has overtaken people. It was exposed with COVID, but it hasn't gone away. Fear. Will we fear going down to Trinidad? We have concerns. We'd like to come back. Amen? But will fear stop us? So I'm asking you in 2026, will you practice abiding? Abiding in him. Abiding in the vine. Because, man, he has some great things in store. And the only way we're going to see him as individuals, as a church, is that we abide. We abide. Let it be a year of pruning. Of being honest and saying, Lord, I want to start this year outright. Forgive me for the things I missed last year, for the things I didn't do and I know I should have. And maybe even for the things I did and I shouldn't have done. Can we start this year today? With abiding in him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just come to you today and we're so grateful that you are faithful. You are so faithful. That, Lord, you're not in a hurry to cut anybody off. You'd rather prune us. You'd rather cleanse us. You'd rather set us back on our feet and on the right path than to cut us loose. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings conviction in our lives, and he's our helper. He's there. He speaks to us when we mess up. He draws us back. He reminds us of the good things that we have in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask for forgiveness for quenching you in our spirits, in our lives, by the words that we speak, the attitudes that we demonstrate, by the actions that we do. Forgive us. Jesus, forgive us today of trampling your blood and not taking seriously sin in our lives. We call them problems. We call them everything but sin. But Father, we pray that today and throughout this year, Lord, if there is sin in our lives, there are things that are hindering us, things that are quenching your spirit and you moving in our lives, we pray that you would reveal it. Forgive us for trampling on the blood, for turning our back on the cross. We come back and we kneel before the cross this morning and say, Lord, give us a fresh start, a new beginning here today. Father, this is your plan. From the foundation of the earth, we know that salvation was already in the works, that you would be giving your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you're the gardener. We thank you that you have a plan. We thank you that you have expectations, that you have a standard. And we pray that with your help, we will walk in the light of that plan. That we will be the light that will shine before others, that they may see our good works, the fruit of our lives, and give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We ask this in your holy name today, and we thank you for your patience, your long suffering, your gentleness. We thank you for all those things that you didn't tell us you want in our life, but you already display those things in your life. And we're grateful, Lord, that that fruit can be ours, that we can experience the goodness of that fruit in our lives. We love you, Lord, and we surrender our lives to you this morning, and we're asking for a new start. Tim is asking for a new start today. I'm asking God for a new start for our church, that this will be a year, Lord, that we can't even begin to think or imagine what you have in store for us. We're going to begin to ask for some big things. And we're asking you, God, just to, again, give us the right desires, the right wishes. And as we abide in you, you will reveal them to us so that we can have the answered prayers that we so deeply desire in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we just, in your own words here, just worship him a little bit this morning? Lord, we just honor you today. We thank you for the sweet spirit that the service began with today. And so, Father, we're grateful that that same spirit that we could feel here as we're gathered together worshiping you is the same spirit that goes with us wherever we go. That same sweet spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, we just desire for you to use us. Hallelujah. And as we close this service out, and as the ushers come this morning, we just ask, Father, that you will just bless both the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. And we're just thankful for what you've done in the past. We thank you what you did in 2025. And Lord, by faith, we're giving you thanks for what 2026 is going to bring our way. And we pray in your name. Amen.